on a Wednesday night, and I titled this message, There's More. And the only reason I titled it because I titled it because I started talking about in St. John chapter 3, where Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And, you know, so many people are born again, and they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, and that's as far as they go with it. That's as far as they go with it. I'm happy if I just got my name written in heaven. You know, that's what I was going for when I got saved. Just get me to heaven. Just get me to heaven. Glory to God. I don't want to go to hell. And I'm telling you, that's why I accepted Jesus Christ, just so I could get my name in heaven and I could go to heaven one day when I die or Jesus comes back or whatever. And that was my goal. But then I got into the Word of God and found out there's so much more. There's so much more. I mean, I didn't go to listening to somebody preach on the radio or TV or something. I went straight to the Word of God. And not that I understood a whole lot of it, but praise God, I did understand some of it. And I found out God loved me and He had a better life for me. Did you know the Word of God was written to better us? Let me say that again, to better our lives. And I'm telling you, every bit of it. I'm talking about from Genesis to Revelations. Everything in there was put in there to better our lives. And whether we like it sometimes or not, there's correction in there. The Bible says, whom a father loves, he corrects. How does God correct his children? Through the Word. Through the Word. In fact, that's what he's told Timothy. He said, the Word of God will bring correction in your life. And praise God. Actually, I think it's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where it talks all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for a reproof, for correction and all. And the New Living Translation says, to show us where we're wrong, so we can get it right. I'm telling you, that's true, isn't it? Have you ever read the Word of God and you say, ouch, oh my God? And so I started preaching on being born again, and there's more to being born again. There's, and we talked about righteousness. We talked about you being a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new person in Christ. Brand new, a species that never existed before. You are brand new in God. Isn't that wonderful? And then he said, and in 2 Corinthians 5:21, 17 says you're a new creation. 21 in the same chapter says that he made Jesus, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might become or be made the righteousness of God in him. We talked about how we're righteous. Sometimes people have a hard time getting that out of their mouth, because they got that I'm so unworthy mentality. Well, how can I say I'm righteous? Because God says you're righteous. Righteousness means right standing with God. You're right with God. And so we try to make it some big deal. And the thing about it is a big deal. But the thing about it is, you can't strive for righteousness. You're as righteous as you're ever going to be. You can strive for holiness, but you can't strive for righteousness because you are righteous. An apple tree ain't going to get any more of an apple than it is an apple. An apple isn't going to get any more of an apple than it is an apple, no matter what it does. Just like you're not going to be any more righteous than you are. Now, you might develop in right living. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, or His way of doing things, and then everything else will be added to you. That's in Matthew chapter 6, where he's talking about don't worry. He said, if you'll just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, or His way of doing things, he said, everything you have need of, he's talking about your clothing, and I put in there your bills, everything you have need of, all the finance you need. He said, it all's going to be added to you if you'll just seek first His kingdom. That's some instruction there Jesus was giving us. You know, we can't just haphazardly serve God and expect everything to work for us. Come on now, can I just be your pastor tonight? I want to go to John chapter 8. And then we talked about, and then we talked about being justified. Being justified, that's being pardoned, declared innocent, acquitted, and it's justified, never sinned. I mean, I'm talking about our slate was wiped clean. How many believes your slate was completely wiped clean? I'm talking about when you met Jesus Christ seriously and was born again, from that point, you had no past as far as God was concerned. Isn't that good? I mean, there's no past. I did a lot of crazy things in my younger days and my teenage years and stuff like that. But when I met Jesus Christ and I sincerely believed and confessed with my mouth, I had nothing in my past. I got to start anew, afresh. Amen? And so we've been justified. We're talking about a new creation, Christ, been born again, a new creation, righteousness, justification. But I wanted to read in John chapter 8, verse 31. And it says this, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and what's going to set you free? The truth. Listen, in our lives, we can truly be born again. You know, you had a heart and mouth connection, you were born again, but nothing ever seems to change anywhere else. Because it's going to come through knowing something, through knowledge. That's why John said in 3 John, he said that you may prosper in all things and be in health even as your soul prospers. Even as there's knowledge being added to you. That's why Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1 that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened or flooded with light that we may know and understand what's available to us in God. And so I'm telling you, he said, if you'll know the truth, and here's how he says you're going to know the truth. If you abide in my word or continue in my word, you're my disciples or students, and you shall know the truth, and the truth that you know will set you free. Some people says, you know, the Bible says the truth will set you free. Well, actually, it does if you know it. But it's not going to do you no good if you don't know it. Come on. That's why the Bible's so full of truth and so full of delivering power in the Word of God that if we would read it and say, well, you know, we're to approach the Word of God like this. And this is how I usually, when I go to read, I said, God, I thank you that you're the author of this book and you're going to bring to my remembrance whatever I need to know or bring up to me or teach me whatever I need to know at this setting right here in Jesus' name. And listen to me, we've got to be willing to let the Word of God correct us and bring us into the blessings of God. Because it could be just a little something that we may be dealing with in our lives or something like that maybe God's been dealing with us about that we just refuse to listen. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, it's the small foxes that spoil the vines. You know, it's talking about the grapevines. They said in back them grapevines, y'all seen them, all them big old rows of them, and there's usually one vine coming up, and grapes are going everywhere. And they said, you know, the foxes love to eat them grapes, but the small foxes couldn't get up to get them, so they'd chew the vines off. And when it chewed the vines off, it stopped the whole production of that whole vine. And see, sometimes those little things in our lives that God... Did you know God cares about the little things that's stopping us from the blessings of God? Just the little things. And then there may be gigantic things that we need to deal with in our lives. Listen, we've always got to be open to correction. It's kind of like, I hope the preacher don't get on this subject or that subject or this subject. Listen to me. We're to say, I hope he ministers to me what I need to hear to better my life, to change my life, so I can get in the flow of God. And so, you know, so even ministering this, because talking about new creation, talking about righteousness, talking about justification, I want to talk about tonight sanctification. I think I just built it up so you don't get mad at me. But I've got to preach what God tells me to preach. And if it's in the Bible, shouldn't we believe it? I kind of look at it like this: when you preach the word and get mad, then you get mad at the word. You're mad at God. God never tries to tell us something He's not trying to help us. Never, never. So I'm always open. God, help me. Say it with me. God, help me. And I want to first of all read the definition of sanctified or sanctification is this. It means to make holy. It means to purify or consecrate. To make holy or set apart for sacred services. So sanctification means to be set apart, separated. God has a separated body on this planet. Amen. The body of Christ is called the church. Not this building. Without you in here, this is just a building. They could drive by here and say, that's a church, But actually, if we're not here, the church isn't here. It's when we come together that the church actually appears. And so he has an entity, he has a body on the planet right now that he's wanting to be visible through or visible in. And I'm telling you, the church is the only way the world's going to see Jesus is through us. Am I right? They ain't going to know Jesus unless somebody tells them. They're not going to see Jesus unless they see him in us. And so to be sanctified, when he said we're sanctified, I'm going to read some scriptures. They're very strong scriptures, but it's in the Bible. And it's sanctified to make holy. So we can develop holiness or perfect holiness in our lives. But I'm telling you something. There's a lot of things Paul wrote in his scriptures, the epistles, that literally bring correction to our lives. Let me put it this way. It may have nothing to do with anything in your life, but praise God, it can affect you if you let it to with somebody else's life. And we're going to go, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. I'm telling you, the Corinthian church was a pretty tough church. I'm talking about they was involved in a lot of crazy stuff. And so Paul came in by the Holy... How many believes all these letters were inspired by the Holy Ghost? Paul said, what I got from God. I got it from Jesus. So he wrote these things based upon that. And I want to read, I'm going to start in verse 9 and chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation. Now listen to this. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship idols or commit adultery or male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves, are greedy people, are drunkards, are abusive, are cheap people. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to what it says in verse 11. This is how you know he's writing this to Christians, to believers, to born-again people who met Jesus Christ. He says, some of you were once like that, but you were washed, or you were cleansed. You were made holy. That means you were sanctified. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Verse 11 in the New King James says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, set apart. You've been made holy, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He says you were washed. What were we washed in? The blood of Jesus. We were washed from our sins in the blood of Jesus. Now, if you read in Ephesians, and I think I have this in my notes, Ephesians says we're washed by the Word. The Word washes us. The Word cleanses us. And that's why it's so important that we don't just hear the Word very seldom. We need to keep the Word before our face. That's what it says in Proverbs, and for us to have a long, satisfied, and fulfilling life. So Paul says all these things, and we say, well, I tell you what, I'm not this or I'm not that. Listen to me. There's a lot of little things in here. They're big things here, and it says some of you once were. And if we're not careful, we'll start putting a degree on sin. You know, people put a degree on, well, I don't do like they do. Well, they're putting a degree on it. God didn't really put a degree on it, because sin is sin and wrong's wrong. And he's trying to let us know, listen, some of you weren't used to be that way, but you're not that way no more. Why? Because the moment you got saved, listen to me, the moment you got saved, the moment you met Jesus Christ, everything in your past was washed away. You might have been an adulterer, you might have been a liar, a cheater, idol worshiper, you might have been any one of those things, but when you got washed, when you got saved, you were washed. You were washed. That washed you clean. Whew. He said, that means you don't need to fall back into that, because you've been sanctified. You've been set apart for the Master's use. In 1 Corinthians 5, look over there if you will. We'll just jump backwards. 1 Corinthians 5. I think I've got this under read in the New Living Translation also. In verse 9, Paul writing this, we're talking about being sanctified. When I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. Listen to what he said, though. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin or are greedy or cheat people or worship idols, you would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. You know, sometimes, well, we got to stay away from the people in the world. You know, them people who do like that. He said, you're got to be removed out of the world to stay away from people like that. I mean, everything in the world that we've just read is running rampant in our world right now. Right? I mean, it said cheating, people who cheat. Listen, they have just uncovered a deal, people cheating and getting kids into college. Have y'all been seeing all that? I mean, paying millions of dollars for their kids to get in these highfalutin colleges. And now all them people's getting arrested. I'm talking about movie stars, these multimillionaires getting arrested. They're taken. I mean, literally, because they was cheating the system. Coaches were getting them in, and everyone, the people are all coming up, and now it's all coming to light right now. And I think that the main instigator of it said they thought there was about 50. He said I helped over 750 families cheat the system. And now every single one of them is beginning to get reckoning. Huh? Why? He said, because listen to me. The thing about it is we think sometimes, you know, if I don't do this, if I don't do that, if I don't do this, if I don't associate with those individuals out there, Paul said, listen to me, on your job, you're gonna have people like that. When you walk to Walmart, you'd have to stay out of Walmart. That would be a tragedy. Because not that we go around asking anybody, are you this, are you that? Because listen to me, we're supposed to be a light wherever we go. But notice what he said, but I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin or greedy or cheat people or worship. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. I meant that you should not associate with anyone who claims to be a believer, yet indulges in sexual sin or is greedy or worships idols or is abusive or is a drunkard or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people. Wow, that's pretty strong. Of course, one thing we don't ask our friends, are you a cheat or you do this or you do that, but you just know it. You said, what's Paul trying to tell us? He said, listen to me. What happens is it begins to affect your morality. It affects your morality. And so when he was telling us, he said, well, I meant associate, and you got to understand something. When Paul was writing this, he was talking about, he came, if you read the start at the first of this, he said, it's been told that there's a man who has his father's wife. So they were committing an immoral sexuality, and I assume it was a stepmother. And the thing about it is, he said, it should not even be named among believers. And then he goes on and names a whole bunch of stuff because most people say, well, I don't do that, but he started naming all kinds of stuff. Why? Because those things will bring pollution in our lives. Now listen, it don't mean we don't love people. It don't mean we don't pray for people. It don't mean we don't still witness to them and are a light to them. He says, listen, you can't allow that to be your fellowship, and that's who you hang with and such as that. Why? Because you're going to wind up getting caught in the trap. Paul said, it isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. Now, we're not their judge. You understand, we're not passing sentence on people and saying, I tell you what, you're condemned to hell and stuff. That's not what we're doing. And I don't believe that's what Paul was trying to tell us to do. He said, listen to me, but you've got to see when wrong's wrong. When wrong's wrong. The thing about it is, we can't help people if we agree with what they do. Did anybody hear me? We can't help people if we agree with what they're doing. Amen? I know I'm gonna say, because I'll tell you, I know people that had done things in ministry that literally destroyed their lives. And a minister that I've known for we preached for him for a lot of times. He preached here a lot of times for years. But then all of a sudden things started coming out about things in his life and such as that. And I remember this one person told, this pastor told, he had a drummer. He was an excellent drummer because he was playing when I was there. And he told that drummer, he said, he had got a tattoo, and he said, if you get one more tattoo, I'm kicking you off the platform. You are not getting on our platform if you get one more tattoo. And so, of course, he went and got a tattoo, which he was off the platform, which he knew he would be off the platform if he got another tattoo, which is a big deal. But the thing about it is, this guy, and I pray that he gets things right, because what I'm talking about right here is looking at what somebody else does and refuse to look at what you're doing. And pointing a finger at them, whereas if you're pointing a finger there, there's three pointing back at me. And he wound up, it was a thriving church. His church was doing great. I'm talking about, his church was about where he has been believing for it to be. I mean, the move of God. We've had awesome services at that church and such as that. And through the process, he was actually having affairs with women in his church. Had children with two of the ladies in his church. His best friends. I knew them real close, real well, the families that it was all involved in. And when this came out, and it did come out, that church is no longer even a church. The people are scattered everywhere. He wound up divorced, him and his wife wound up getting divorced. He wound up marrying one of the women that actually had one of his children. And all this. And I'm here to tell you, listen, here's why God rewards us, because he knows what's going to happen if you do it. He knows what's going to happen if you do it. I went to his son's graduation, grandson, and actually I ministered at his grandson's graduation, and he was not even mentioned. He had nothing to do with it. They had nothing to do with him. He literally cut himself off from his whole family. Had nothing to do with him. Let me tell you something. God dealt with that man probably time and time and time and time again. And he just flat out would not listen. Lost everything. Everything fell apart. Everything. Everything fell apart. Well, listen. God wants us to... Let me tell you something. The Bible says we're to judge ourselves. Is this too hard tonight? We're to judge ourselves. God does not ever tell us to do something or not to do it to hurt us. It's to help us. Why? God knows the consequences to it. In fact, the wages of sin is death, and he knows that. You said, well, that was before we got saved. No. He was writing that to the church at Rome, to the believers. He said, the wages of sin is death, and sin will bring death to everything in your life, your relationships, your finances, your health. It will live, and ultimately your life. And that's just the way sin works. And the thing about it is, we read the Bible where it says you don't need to be doing this stuff, you don't need to be involved in this stuff like this, they will not inherit the kingdom of God, and you're special to God, but yet the consequences and of things are going to affect our lives just like it will anybody else that indulge in those things. Did you know every preacher that he was connected with cut him off? Including myself. Not that I don't pray for him from time to time. I do. But I was aggravated because he was doing this standing in this pulpit. And it made me furious when I found out. Others, he graced their pulpit also. And they literally said, until you repent, get your heart right, we will have nothing to do with you again. And to my knowledge, they don't have nothing to do with him. And he hasn't repented and nothing has changed in his life. Does God love him? Absolutely. God loves him. And the thing about it is, Paul is saying, listen, you have got to understand, you have been sanctified. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus. That don't make us perfect. I can look out here and tell none of us are perfect. Not judging you, I just know we're human. And none of us are perfect. But what we need to do is thrive or press toward. Listen, the Word of God begins to take us out of some things into some new things. God will never bless and redeem you or deliver you from something without filling you with something to take its place. God don't want you empty. Remember the story of Jesus talking about where he cast out a devil out of a guy, and he said the devils went out of him, and his insides were all swept and cleaned and all shiny and looking good, and those demons went out, and they looked around everywhere and looked around everywhere, and they couldn't find nowhere to land, so they went back to that house. And that house, they found it was all cleaned and fixed up, and they moved back in and brought them seven times worse. Seven times worse. That man's last state was seven times worse than the first. Why? Because he didn't do anything to fill himself with what was new about him. Now listen, God wants our lives to be a living testimony. And he wants our life. Listen, it don't mean when you say, well, I'm cutting this out. Let God help you. So many times we're trying to do it on our own. Well, I'm going to quit this. And it, listen, for just saying somebody's dealing with you, but you got to say, God, you're going to have to help me in this. You say, well, Pastor, I don't want to hear about the don'ts. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a bunch up in the Bible. We'll help you enjoy the do's. Right? And so we need to realize, he said, listen, you've got to make a stand. The church has got to make a stand. Ooh, I know somebody may be thinking, oh, I wish I'd have stayed home on this wonderful Wednesday night. Listen to me, God wants to help us. Actually, if you could see my notes right here, I went through here and marked out some of these. I wasn't going to read them. God, in my office, he said, You un-X those and you read them in this church. You un-X them. And so I put a chip over and scribbled through the X. I don't ever want to feel as a pastor that I can't preach the truth in this church. Amen. And I don't want to ever feel like you as a congregation want to repel or rebel against the truth. We all want help. We want the best for our lives, and there's so many things in the Word of God that's here to help us. Paul wasn't writing those to destroy the Corinthian church. He was trying to enhance them and build them up for them to be a light to where they are. Actually, in the Corinthian church, that's where he starts talking about getting orderly for the gifts of the Holy Ghost in chapter 12, talking about the body and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I mean, they was a spiritual. They worked in the gifts. They operated in the gifts, but they were doing it all wrong, and he had to come in and do a lot of correction. You'll read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. You'll find out that Paul was literally correcting them in the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. And so they were very zealous, but yet they were kind of getting off base. In 1 Corinthians 15, 33. I believe this is why Paul said you don't need to hook up. In other words, people who do all kinds of things they ought not be doing, you don't need to let them be your main fellowship. In fact, he says over here in verse 33, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Then he says, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He said, I speak it to your shame. Why? He's talking to some of you don't have it, the knowledge of God. He said, I speak this to your shame. Listen, he said, evil companions corrupt good habits. Man, I have seen people mess up and get hooked up with the wrong people and such as that, and because they thought they were going to change their whole lives, but they changed them. They changed them. And I'm telling you, God wants you to have good, godly people that you can hook up with and that you'll need in your life, that you'll have in your life, rather. So it says, awake to righteousness, do not sin, for some of you do not have the knowledge of God. But we do have the knowledge of God, right? Look at 2 Corinthians. And I'm running out of time. Verse 11. Chapter 6. And I'm going to read this also in the New Living Translation. It says, O dear Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you and our hearts are open to you. There's no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love from us. I'm asking you to respond as if you were my own children. Open your hearts to us. I mean, literally, Paul said, listen, you need to open up to us and understand this. We love you. We love you. I love you. I mean, he birthed that church. God used him to birth that church and minister to those people. He said, I want you to open your hearts up to us. Why? Because listen, if you close your heart off to the word, you're never going to grow. He says, I want you to open up to us and listen to what I'm saying. I love you. I'm not saying this out of meanness or hatred. I'm saying it because I love you. He said, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them, walk among them, and be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Now, the thing about it is, Paul done said earlier that if we, to avoid all these people, we'd have to get out of the world. But he's not talking about not being a light or being around them. He said, listen, you need to have some good, godly, Christian believers as fellowship in your life. Amen. Amen. Listen, God don't want you drugged back into what you were. And I don't want to be drugged back in what I was. Thank God I'm not. I've went too far to go back now. How about y'all? But I tell you what, sometimes the devil may try to tempt you to do it. Huh? But if you had good godly people that you could associate with, then they could encourage you. Listen, you don't need somebody encouraging you to go the opposite direction. Huh? You need somebody encouraging you to go the right direction, amen, and saying, I'm with you, I'll pray with you, praise God, and we're going to see the power of God work in your life. Amen? And look at Acts, if you will. It's kind of like marrying people. You say, well, the Bible says unbelievers hooking up with believers. I tell you what, there's been a lot of miserable people that married people, a godly person marrying an ungodly person. Y'all know any like that? And then they think, oh my God, I messed up. I wish to God I hadn't married them. Well, you did. Now you either pray or do something. After all, the whole purpose of it was so you could change them. Now work on them. Huh? Isn't that the excuse they made? Well, I love them and I can change them, yeah? Yeah, anybody can be sweet to you courting. But after you marry them and their head spins around, they spit up green stuff and say, get my coffee. You say, oh my God, something's going south now. Huh? I mean, I've asked them. I've had them come to my office and I'll ask them, are you born again? Do y'all both born again? Because the Bible says don't be unequally yoked. And I had one kid come in one time and wanted me to marry him. I said, well, are you born again? He said, I almost was. I said, well, you're going to have to explain that to me. You almost was. What do you mean? He said, well, when I was a kid, I went up to my pastor to get born again. He said I was too young. So I didn't get saved. I said, well, would you like to now? He said, no. He was probably in his 20s. So I asked his girlfriend, are you married? Are you born again? She said, no. I said, would you like to? No. I said, well, I'll marry you. You're both equally yoked. One thing about if they don't change, y'all both go to hell together. I don't mean that ugly. I mean, seriously. I mean, really, right? Huh? A friend of mine called me up one time and he said, my dad is about to die. He's about to die. And he said, would you go to his house and find out if he's born again? He said, I don't know if he's born again. I don't think he's born again. Would you go talk to him about the Lord and try to get him to know Jesus? And it was right here in Groesbeck. Jeff Spring was with me when, and I drove, I said, yeah, I'll go by there. So I went by there. Jeff Spring stayed in the truck. And so he was in a hospital bed in his room, and I went up there. He was up at way up in age, which I've known him all my life. And I went in there and I started talking to him. I said, you know, your son wanted me to come by here and talk to you a little bit and ask you about your salvation and ask you, do you know Jesus? He wants to know where you're going to go when you pass on, which I wasn't pushing him, you know, to go on and pass on. I was just asking him. And, you know, he sat there and here's what he told me. He said, you know, no, I don't, but I just don't want to be separated from his wife. He called his wife. She's standing at the bed with him. I said, well, you know, y'all don't have to be separated. Y'all can both meet Jesus right here. We can just get y'all can both be saved right here. And did you know both of them got born again standing at that bed? And they were way up in age. And they both accepted Jesus at that moment. And he died. Actually, he died the same day my mother died. And I was supposed to do his funeral, but I couldn't because of the other stuff. But the thing about it is, they're so, you know, God, isn't it amazing, right before he died, they both gave their heart to Jesus. I believe people get saved on their deathbeds all the time. We can look at somebody and say, oh man, I'm the meanest, roughest, ugliest. That's, I used to wear a shirt all the time and it always said on the back of me, and I'm running out of time and I'm not just blabbering. I got a lot to say, but somebody gave me a shirt, or I bought this shirt. I don't know what it says on the back of my shirt. It says, live your life in such a way that the preacher won't have to lie at your funeral. And I wore that shirt all the time. And I always got remarks on it. And I was in Bush's Chicken with it on one time. Some guy walked up behind me and said, well, that answers my question. I said, what's that? He said, I know now why so-and-so was so heavy at his funeral, because there was two people in there, the one I knew and the one the preacher talked about. I just talked to him a little bit. Anyway. Oh, God loves people. Oh, my gosh, he loves us, don't he? God loves us so much. Let's go to one last scripture. I'll quit. That's where I'm going. Acts 4. I love this because I'm telling you, there's people out there that's like precious faith with you and me. There's people in this church. Man, you know, we're to get to know one another. Really? I mean, I don't even know if we keep them back there. Normally we have a membership list back there with the phone numbers on it and stuff like this. Everybody's phone number that turns them in and stuff like this. Man, you're to get one. And if you're just having a day that you need to talk to somebody, you're to call somebody up and say, listen, we're going to church together. I need you to pray with me. That would be all right, wouldn't it? If somebody called you and said, I'm just having a down day and I just need somebody to encourage me, and we go to church together, and I know we believe the same, and I know we can encourage one another. And so I think we're out of them right now, but we need to get some out there. And being let go, they went to their own companions. This is after Peter and John, verse 23. Peter and John had raised the lame man up. We're going to have to all get to flowing together in here about these scriptures. And being let go, they went to their own companions. Their own companions. Their own company, translation says. Their own company of believers. Did you know this is our company of believers right here? Plus others that believe and are hooked up with God. It says, they went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and elders that said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, The place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Amen. You said, what happened here? They went to people that would encourage them not to quit. They told them, don't ever preach again in the name of Jesus. You know what they asked? God, give us the boldness to keep preaching or preach better than we've ever preached by the signs and wonders being done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. He said, listen to me. We're going to go to people that's not going to say, you better listen to them. But they're going to go to people who says, listen, we're going to hook up with you together. We're going to pray together. And we're going to see the power of God manifested in this situation. Isn't that what happened? I mean, thousands of people started getting saved. They was already getting saved. Listen. There's companions and there's people that we just need to be friends with and fellowship with and talk with and pray with. And I would think anybody in this church, I wouldn't have a problem with you calling and having to pray. You know, of course, me and my wife, we pray together. We come pray with the people that come pray for church and such as that. But listen, we've been sanctified. We've been set apart for the Master's use. We've been declared we're holy. Amen. And praise God. Don't let somebody drag you down. Don't let somebody drag you backwards. Amen. I mean, keep pressing forward in the name of Jesus. If you feel like somebody's pulling you backwards, you're to say, you know, I love you and all, but you know, I think we're just going to have to just kind of part ways right now because I know my life's headed this direction. Your life's headed that direction. So I think I'm just going to go the right down the right path for a while, for the rest of my life, actually. Praise God. So listen, everybody say it with me. I'm sanctified. Set apart. Been made holy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we love you so much. And we thank you that you have written the scriptures for our benefit and for our sake. And God, we only rob ourselves when we don't read them. And when we don't understand that you wrote these as love letters to your church. And God, we love love letters. And so we want to read these in the right heart and the right spirit, understanding that you're not against us, but you're for us. And God, you know what's best for our lives. God, hook us up with right people. God, just like those four crazy friends that carried that lame man up on the roof and set him down before Jesus, they would not let him live in the state of being, in the situation, in the circumstances that he was living in. They took him to you. So God, I thank you for friends like that, for every single one of us, that we're hooked up to an company of believers, God, that will pray with us, that will encourage us, that will share the word with us and help us along in life. Oh, we love you so much and we thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for bringing revelation to us and revealing things to us. God, because you don't want any of us lacking any good thing, but you want us all to be tremendously blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you. We give you glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isn't God good?